In the name of Jesus, amen. Blessed Christmas Day to you. A Mass is a divine service. It is Christ's Mass this day. If one of your Roman Catholic friends asks you what time is your Mass, say it's 5 o'clock on Saturday, 9 o'clock on Sunday. A Mass is a communion service. And there's always communion on December 25th for a church service, because it's Christ's Mass. It's a communion service to remind us that our Lord comes to dwell among us physically, bodily, and we rejoice in that gift. That's why some people want to leave out that word Christmas. It's a very Christian word, and some people would like to eliminate that, and they might go with an alternate like Happy Holidays, which, you know, Happy Holidays, holidays is just a mixing together of holy days, so that's still a religious reference, I guess. If you want to totally escape it, you can go with season's greetings, but God made the seasons, so everything gives glory to God in one way or another. Praise be to His name. Merry Christmas to you. God can scare people. In fact, I would suggest to you that God does scare people. That says more about us than it says about God, but God scares people. God is big, we are small. God knows everything, we don't. God is all-powerful, we are not. God is eternal, we are temporary. God made the sun, the moon, the stars. He made everything, He created everything, He sustains everything. He's the maker of the thunder and lightning, the earthquakes, the tidal waves. He always has been, will be, and we come and go. He's big, we're little. And when you read the Bible, sometimes you read some scary stories. God sends a worldwide flood, wipes out all kinds of people except for Noah and his family. You read about God sending fire to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You read about God sending a plague upon the Egyptians, including the angel of death. There's a story where God made the ground literally split open and swallowed those who opposed His servant Moses. God caused the walls of Jericho to collapse. And we could go on and on. There are some scary stories in the Bible, and that sometimes makes people think God is scary or someone we should be scared of. And that's especially true if you've done something wrong, which describes all of us all the time. When we do something wrong, when we fail to do something right, we feel guilty. We feel judged. We have a bad conscience. And it could be because of something we did, something we didn't do. It could be real or imagined. It could be big or little. And when you try to have a conversation with somebody who is feeling condemned or feeling judged, it's difficult. Because when we feel like other people are judging us, when we feel condemned because of something we've done, we get defensive. Our radar goes up. We become a little wary. And we've all had that experience. We feel bad about something we've done to somebody. That person says something to us. And all of a sudden we're like, well, I wonder what they meant by that. Wonder what they're going to do to me. And sometimes it's real, sometimes it's just imagined. Well, let's jump into Christmas and see how God gets past that. Because we are sinful. We do deserve God's wrath, both His temporary wrath and His eternal punishment. And we do want to hide from God because He can be scary, and at the very least we get defensive and we try to justify ourselves. So how does God get past that? He sends a baby. He sends a baby. Babies are not scary. Well, they can be scary for men when men are trying to take care of them, because sometimes men aren't very good at that. And babies are a lot of work. But babies are not scary in the sense that they are powerful. Every one of us here this morning, if you were in a wrestling match with a baby, you'd win. Unless you're a baby. But even then, it'd be close. Babies are no contest. You could overcome a baby without any problem. Babies are weak. Babies are defenseless. Babies have no power. They have no might. They cannot protect themselves, which is one of the reasons abortion is such a cowardly act. You know, you're destroying a life that cannot protect itself. Babies are at the mercy of others and depend upon others for their survival. And if a person really wants to kill a baby, the baby really has no recourse. There's nothing a baby really can do about that. So how does God enter our world? He sends a baby. He sends a baby. He sends a baby because it slips past our defenses. Nobody worries about babies taking over the world. Nobody worries about babies taking over a country. That's just silliness. And not only does God send a baby, but he sends a baby through a poor, ordinary couple. If you're rich and famous, you have your rich and famous baby at a rich and famous hospital delivered by a rich and famous doctor, and the media covers it. If you're a poor couple having a baby, well, it's no big deal, because poor couples have baby all the time, all over the world. In fact, some people would say, they're just another mouth to feed. God slips into our world. And besides Mary and Joseph and a few shepherds, no one notices. Nobody. It's like an Olympic high diver making the perfect dive. No splash. Barely a ripple. Perfect entry. God slips into our world. And this little baby is God. Does Mary know when she kisses the face of Jesus, she's kissing the face of God? Yes, she does know. Her little baby is God. And nobody really pays any attention to that baby for quite a while. We have a few stories in the Bible, but really not much information until baby Jesus hits the age of 30. And now he begins to do what? Preach and teach. And all of a sudden, people notice him. Because he's preaching and teaching like no one else has ever done before. Why? Because he's the Word of God. The same Word that made this world and everything in it, the same Word that creates all things, is walking around, is preaching and teaching, and all of a sudden people pay attention. And that Word does all kinds of incredible things. It drives out demons, it heals the sick, it raises the dead. We heard in the book of Hebrews, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. But then what does that word do? That word does something that's even weaker than being born a baby. That word dies. You can't get any weaker than being dead. Satan never saw that one coming. Slipped right past him. How can your enemy, what does your enemy do when you outweaken your enemy? Your enemy can't get any weaker than that. And that's what Jesus does. He outweakens the devil by dying on the cross, paying the price for our sins. And of course, you know how it goes. He didn't stay dead. But he rose again to show us that even though he was weak in death, death is not the end. There's the power and promise of the resurrection. And now that word continues to live among us through his word and sacraments. That word is powerful and sustains all things by his powerful word, as the writer to the book of Hebrews reminds us. And that word is present with us. It still looks weak. Still looks weak. Most people are not going to church on Christmas Day. Most people aren't even thinking about Jesus. Most people are still afraid of God. But that word continues to go forth, doing what it does, forgiving sinners, reminding us of the hope and promise of eternal life, and making sinners forgiven and alive through the precious Word of God and the sacraments. That Word is present among us as we hear it, as we receive it in Christ's Mass, Holy Communion. And that Word, though it may look weak to us, does what God sends it to do. So don't worry about that. Rejoice in your Lord that He comes to be among us and has come for you, His child, and makes you His very own through His Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.